7 of the 2022 college football season. This is the We Hate Your Team podcast. I'm Kelly Ford, and with me, as always, is my co-host, Zach King. Kinger, how are we doing this week?
Brother, you know how I'm doing. Living the dream. Another week, another Saturday, 12-plus hours on the couch, planned to watch some more college football, some good matchups this week. The pick'em this week's going to be tough, man. Not a single spread over 7.5. I think there's going to be some chaos this week, some movement in our pick'em for sure.
Dude, there are some amazing games this week, as you talked about. Dare I say, King, this is the most highly anticipated week of the season so far. I know we don't take any off weeks. Teams have byes. College football doesn't. Neither do we, King. But I have to say, I am super excited about this week. We have some very high-profile and high-quality matchups, many of which we'll be picking on today's episode. But before we get to that, as always, we have a very special guest with us. We have a professional sports handicapper, Kinger. We have Tom Judge. Tom, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, guys. I'm excited to come on. It's been kind of a long time coming, and I'm glad we were able to sit down and get this done with.
100%, Tom. You said it. A long time coming. Tom, you were one of the very first sports handicappers that I got connected with, actually through the 70% Club account. Geez, this is going back almost 3 years ago now. This has been a long time coming. It's season two of We Hate Your Team. We wanted to have you on. Now we're finally able to do it. Tom, if you wouldn't mind, just share a little bit about yourself, your path, you know, your experience handicapping sports. You deal mainly in college football, but you also dabble a little bit outside of there. So just the floor is yours. Take it away. Tell us about Tom Judge.
Wow, that 70%, that's a name drop I wasn't expecting to hear. That really makes me kind of feel old a bit. Wow. So basically, I got my start betting on sports in college. I met one of my roommates that got me into it. And, you know, I made all the typical rookie mistakes, you know, teasing basketball and, you know, a lot of stuff that I'm kind of embarrassed to even say. But, you know, with that came a lot of hard lessons and, you know, it kind of pushed me to want to improve and hone my craft so I could continue to do this and not end up on the streets. So I began more seriously handicapping sports about 7 years ago. And me and my buddy who got me into it always sort of talked about, you know, it would be great to move out to Vegas, really, you know, take a crack at it and, you know, see what we could do. And so about 3 years ago, we decided to move on out here. And he actually got a job over at Westgate, the Superbook. So he works in risk in the back there. So it's kind of cool. We're both, you know, in the game, different sides of the counter. You know, he's able to provide me with some good info and I'm able to do so for him in return. So it's just kind of fun to see that relationship grow in sports and evolve from how it started.
You are our resident handicapper betting pro here on the show. What do you make of Tom's story? What do you think? Can you move out to Vegas and join him there?
I think Tom's living the dream that just about all of us sports gamblers envision in our minds. He's just the only one brave enough to make it happen. But no, that's fantastic. What better place to live and operate out of than Las Vegas? Going back, I started kind of gambling in my college days as well. A little bit after college, honestly, it's when I moved to Arkansas and was kind of on my own down there. But you said 7 years now, taking it kind of more full-time, seriously. Really, did you ever entertain any other career path, or was this something once you kind of got into it, you were hooked, you knew that you were going to give this a go? Because a lot of people wouldn't have done that, and I commend you for kind of taking that step to put you in a position to follow what you love to do.
Right, and you know, I still wake up every day like half sort of like, am I seriously doing this? Like, you know, when's the other shoe gonna drop? But I've been fortunate to, you know, learn quickly and really dedicate myself to money management, which is really the downfall of every sports bettor at their core. Once I decided, you know, I really think I can do this, then I put my mind towards, you know, making it happen and doing whatever it took to, you know, keep myself afloat. And there's still so much I learn every day, and I know there's a lot I have to keep learning. You can't get complacent, and you have to be able to evolve. So it's something that excites me to keep learning and keep growing.
And you mentioned the mistakes that so many gamblers make. You mentioned the teasers, the parlays. Everybody who starts in gambling thinks that that's where the money is to be made. You realize that's actually not the case. And you realize in most situations that's not going to end well for you. Keeping your emotions in check, that's all important. Every gambler's kind of got their own individual strategy. I don't know what you're willing to share around that, but talk to us a little bit. Talk to the listeners a little bit about how you go about placing your bets, how do you evaluate games to pick on, and just talk to us a little bit about that process.
Sure. So, I mean, the old cliche is football, especially the NFL, week-to-week league. You know, believe half of what you see and none of what you hear, all that good stuff. But I think it's really important to develop your own opinions and really trust your gut. You know, you start listening to too many voices and you get in your own head, and then you don't, you know, it's almost paralysis by analysis. You've heard too much, and now you don't know which direction to go in. And, you know, at the end of the day, if I'm going to lose, I want it to be, you know, on my own. And, you know, I lost myself. It wasn't listening to someone else. I have no one to blame but myself. And, you know, it's a lot of losing. You know, if I lose 45% of my bets, I'm thrilled. So
killing the game.
You just got to be able to take the good with the bad and keep chugging.
That is awesome. And something you said there, something King said, what made me want to ask a question. What is your professional official advice on parlays? Because as King said, so many people get so excited about that. The return is so great if you hit it. I have been pretty outspoken when asked about it. I am not a professional handicapper. I'm not a sports bettor. I don't do any of that. When I started the ratings, that's kind of what helped me gain an initial following, is people were using it for that purpose, which is cool. But I've been very outspoken against parlays. I think they are a very bad idea, because let's say you have a three-leg parlay. Each one of the individual bets you think is a good bet, but each time you add on that layer of risk, you said you better get used to losing. You're going to lose 45% and you're happy with that. Like, to me, it just seems like an absolutely terrible idea. But you're the pro, you're the expert. What is your official take for our listeners on parlays? Do them, don't do them, or does it depend?
So, I mean, there's always a short answer and a long answer. And short answer is parlays in general are not great. I would not advise them. You're not, like you said, it's hard enough winning one game. You're never getting the true odds, you know, that the parlay should pay out. But it's not something you should completely throw out of your game. Like you also said, everyone's got their own strategy. You know, I don't claim to know everything, and I'm sure, you know, out there's probably a parlay strategy that, you know, is profitable. But I think if you want to look towards parlays that are correlated, and there's not a lot of books that'll take these, but anytime you see a, you know, a side and a total that, you know, seems to fit a certain gameplay or how it might play out, those are the parlays I tend to play. I look at a lot of big favorites, and then I try and decipher, you know, if their defense is going to hold the other side to little to nothing. You might look for a spread and an under, or you might look for a spread and an over in a game like Army and Wake Forest, where they just beat them up in the first half. It, you know, the spread was probably, first half was probably 14-ish, maybe less, and the total 24.5, 28. And, you know, they get out of there 28-0, you win both sides. And it's because of, you know, how they're set up offensively and how Army's not set up to really defend that pass game.
I like that. So there is a potential path, depending on your strategy and the information you have, that parlays could be acceptable. I like that. That helps frame my take on it as well. Kinger, I got one more question for Tom, and then if you've got any more, we can hit them before we get into the games. But Tom, my final question for you is, you started doing this professionally, you moved out to Vegas 7 years ago. I want to know, college football only, what has changed the most about college football and about the way you handicap a game and make odds for a game from when you started doing this seriously 7 years ago to today? A lot's changed in the game of college football. What's changed the most about the way you go about handicapping and odds making a game?
Oh, for sure the number one thing has been the transfer portal. Trying to get a jump early every year, it's kind of out the window now because you don't know who's going where, and there's a lot of stuff that gets underreported or not reported at all. And, you know, it's become a lot more of a free agency business, almost like the NFL is. So You really have to be on top of your game week to week, especially the later we get in the year. I know there's guys sitting out for SMU this week that are planning on hitting the portal. These things like that, that, you know, you really have to look for. They're not going to be, you know, out in front of you. And that makes a huge difference in spreads, especially when you get cluster. It's almost like a cluster injury when you lose a couple guys on the offensive line. You know, it adds up. You lose a couple guys to the portal in the secondary or, you know, on offense. It really changes the dynamic of the team.
I absolutely love that. I am with you on the portal, especially in the summer, trying to figure out who's where for returning production purposes, which is the largest input that I have going into my preseason ratings. My goodness, has that made it more difficult in the summer to get those numbers up and running at a decent time. But yeah, to your point, exactly, even once the season has started now, we are supposed to have these transfer portal windows for football students. Well, for all student athletes, the football one starts, I believe, in December, but that doesn't stop people from stopping participating mid-season to say, I'm going to be jumping in the portal. So I love that answer. I see that as well from a power rating standpoint. King, anything else for Tom here?
No, you also just got to make sure you're on point with the injuries. Unlike the NFL, college football, these programs are trying to keep everything as close to the book as possible. This is not, you got to designate injury reports. I got burned on the Arkansas game last week and had no idea KJ Jefferson wasn't playing. That's one of those dumb moments. But my last question for you, Vegas guy, I've been to Vegas probably 6 or 7 times in my life now. It's been a couple years, so I've been itching to get a trip back out there, but just gun to your head, you got to go place a bet in one book out there. What's the casino? What's the hotel you're going to?
Oh, Circa. For sure.
I've never been to Circa.
Circa Sports.
Oh, that's new. Absolutely. That's new, right? It just in the last year or so.
It's very new. Yep, but it's great. You know, you come out here and every property sort of feels like, you know, a casino with a sports book in it. But at Circa, it feels like a sports book that they built, you know, that has a casino in it. It's really dedicated to the players. The sports book is immaculate. Stadium Swim is really cool. I spent an NFL Sunday at Stadium Swim, you know, just feet in the water watching all the games, fruity drink in hand. It doesn't get much
better. It lives up to the hype?
Yeah, absolutely. And then some.
Cool. Well, that's what...
Not a plug.
I'm marking that at the top of the list. I got to get out there when I make the Vegas trip next time. But I was always curious. There's so many. I think the way you described it is they're casinos with a sports book in them. To have that kind of different feel, more focused on the sports book side of things, that's got to be kind of a cool, different vibe that you definitely don't get in Vegas across the strip.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
That's awesome. King, if we ever make it out to Vegas, you know where we're going now. You can place all the bets. I think I'm going to be at the pool, maybe get one of those fruity drinks Tom was talking about and just watch those big screens.
No, we need 2014 Vegas Kelly back when went out to Vegas with us and thought he was going to conquer the books. And by Saturday night, was in the hotel room by himself sulking because I don't think it went very well for him.
It didn't go well. I said, okay, hold on now. I'm going to make it all back on Sunday on NFL. That went just as poorly as you can imagine. But here's the kicker here, King. There was a scholarship through Phi Gamma Delta at Purdue, the fraternity Kinger and I were in. And Bill Miller, who was an important person within the fraternity, kept telling me, Kelly, you need to apply for the scholarship. You need to apply for the scholarship. You're like the only one that meets the qualifications for the scholarship. It was very specific. Like, you had to be a certain major. You had to have a certain GPA. You had to be, like, from the state of Indiana. Like, it was very, very narrow as to who could apply. He goes, you should apply for this. Nobody else can. It's basically free money. Kinger, I had not applied for it yet. I'm sitting there on the plane on the way back, having just lost a significant amount of money, at least to me at that time. And I'm like, you know what? I'm going to sit on this plane ride, get up my computer, fill out this application. So not only did I then apply for it, I ended up getting that scholarship. So all in all, King, the way I tell it, I was a net positive from the Vegas trip. I lost money gambling, but I actually made money because while I was out there, I applied for the scholarship. So there's my positive spin because, yeah, the betting did not go so well. I should note for everyone listening who uses my numbers for leans with college football picks and everything, this was prior to me creating the K-Ford ratings. Like, this goes back to, like King said, like 2013, 2014. So K-Ford ratings did not come along until a couple years later. So don't let that discourage you from continuing to use it if you do, for anyone listening that likes that. So there's the disclaimer. But yes, King, that was a very fun trip and one that I will never forget. All right, guys, you ready to pick some Week 7 games? We got some doozies.
Let's get into it.
Let's go. Right
on. All right. Well, Kinger, let's start with you on this one because we got a Big Ten matchup, and it's a very big one. in the Big Ten East. We have undefeated Penn State going on the road to play undefeated Michigan. Winner stays right there in the driver's seat with presumably Ohio State for that Big Ten East title. King, what does Vegas make of this game, Penn State at Michigan?
We're starting out hot here. So Michigan is at -7. Michigan's -7 at home. The over-under is 52. And we're going 10 points, Michigan Wolverines, to start the day. Two undefeateds. This is the first kind of heavyweight battle that we've had thus far. And I'm really looking forward to watching Michigan on the defensive side this week. I think they have a potential for a big week here. They have been great the first half of this year. Top five total unit in the country. They've kept the momentum rolling from last season. I think it's really kind of surprised some people with how well they have played. Allowing under 250 yards per game, 81 on the ground. Secondary's been great. Penn State still having some issues running the ball. They got a player in Nick Singleton. He's averaging over 7 yards per carry. But Penn State, they've ran the ball well against some inferior opponents. The best Penn State defense they've played this year is Purdue, and they struggled. Michigan's going to make them struggle again this week. Michigan's going to try and run the ball, limit the passing game. We know how good Penn State's secondary is. McCarthy's been good. I think Michigan's too much at home this week, so I'm going 10 confidence points right off the bat with the Wolverines.
King are going big right away. Tom, let's go to you here. Penn State at Michigan. What do you make of this one?
I'm going to join them. I'm Michigan and 10 here.
Let's go, Tom.
Took the words out of my mouth. They haven't really played anyone defensively like they'll see in Michigan this week. Closest you said was Purdue, maybe even Northwestern last week where they only managed 17. Yeah, Michigan's defense is a different animal, especially up front, and it's going to go a lot differently running the ball against that front.
So the reason I went to Tom second there is I was hoping he'd give us a little different flavor, because, guys, I'm going to join you. I'm going to take Michigan, and I'm going to take it for 10 confidence points. So, King, I don't know if this has happened, at least recently, where we've started off all three of us in agreement, all three of us with max confidence points. I don't have a whole lot to add. My numbers like Michigan in this game by 9 points, so a little bit more than the Vegas spread. It's a 74% win probability for the Wolverines, so I do like Michigan. They're my number 5 power-rated team. Penn State, number 12. So Penn State's a really, really quality football team, but having to go on the road, this is their toughest test, as you guys have said. I've got this one with a game score of 91, which is the third best of the Week 7 game. So to recap this one, we are all three on Michigan, and we are all taking them for 10 confidence points. Moving on to the Big 12, guys, two teams that could use a win. We got Kansas going on the road to Oklahoma. Kansas has had a phenomenal season to this point. The team that has overachieved relative to their preseason win-loss expectation the most out of any team in FBS, according to my numbers. Coming off a loss to TCU, some questions around the quarterback position today. We're recording on a Tuesday. Saw a report that Daniels is out for the season. Now seeing him maybe refute that report. So at the time of this recording, I'm really not sure what to make of that. But Tom, let's start with you on this game, Kansas at Oklahoma. But Kinger, what's Vegas think first?
Oklahoma's a 7.5-point favorite, over under 63.
So, I also heard the news about the quarterback for Kansas. I believe he'll be out for the year. I definitely think he'll be out this week. I also think that we'll get Dillian Gabriel back this week. Oklahoma's in a tailspin right now, and I have this as my lowest confidence pick, but I'm going with the Sooners here. I think they get back on track, find a way to win an ugly game, maybe by a field goal or something.
Tom is a man of extremes, going 10 on his first pick, 1 on his second. I absolutely love it. Tom, I'm going to join you. I'm taking Oklahoma in this game. I don't like the confidence points that I have assigned to it. As King talked about in the open, we have so many games this week in the pick 'em that are a touchdown or less by Vegas, nearly all of them, if not all. I have Oklahoma in this game, and I like them to win the game by 6. It's a 67% win probability, and because of just how competitive the rest of these games are, I've got Oklahoma with 7 confidence points. Guys, Oklahoma has plummeted in my power ratings. They are all the way down to number 38. That is the lowest Oklahoma has been since I started doing the power ratings on a weekly basis. This is not a good version of Oklahoma. I'm afraid my model is still too high on them. It hasn't caught up to how the bottom has seemingly fallen off once the Sooners got into Big 12 play. Kansas, number 52, power rated, so they're having a great season. They're very deserving in my top 20 most deserving. Still not power rating them, though, in the top 50. I like Oklahoma in this game. I'm taking them for 7 confidence points. King?
Yeah, I look at this spread 7.5, and the first look at this seems like it is way, way too high for Oklahoma. I mean, that probably means Vegas knows something that I don't, but I'm absolutely going to bet Kansas here. And even with the quarterback situation, we don't know if Daniels is going to play. I lean with you guys. I don't think that's going to happen this weekend. We'll see how long he's out. But even that backup, Jason Bean, he came in last week and looked more than formidable. And, I mean, Kansas, they're a running team. They're going to run the ball. And this OU defense has been horrible. Dead last against the run of the Big 12. They've allowed 17 more 10-yard runs than the next team in the Big 12 conference, letting up explosive plays left and right. Dillon Gabriel is going to be back. This is going to be a desperate Oklahoma team at holes. If they lose to KU at home, that fan base is going to absolutely erupt. For that reason, I think they're playing like some hungry dogs this week. So I'm going to take Oklahoma also with one confidence point, but I think Kansas makes this a close football game.
All right, so to recap this one, we're all on Oklahoma. I'm taking the Sooners for 7. Kinger and Tom taking the Sooners for 1. Kinger and Tom with identical picks so far. We'll see if that continues as we head back to the Big Ten. I'll take this one first, Kinger. Minnesota at Illinois. What's Vegas make of this one?
Minnesota 6.5-point favorite, over under 39.
Okay, so over under not very surprising to me. Minnesota, I don't like them by as much as Vegas does here. I am going to take the Golden Gophers. This is a big game in the Big Ten West. We had a Big Ten East game earlier. This is Big Ten West. Both these teams with one conference loss. The winner stays right at the front of this pack. I've got Minnesota still as the best team in the Big Ten West. I have them power rated number 18. They do have to go on the road here, and Illinois is very much improved from what I expected coming into this season. They're having a great year. Their most deserved ranking is in the top 25. Power rating-wise, I have Illinois just outside the top 30 at number 31. I like Minnesota in this game. It's a 57% win probability. I like them by less than a field goal. So give me Minnesota, and I'm going to take them for 3 confidence points. King?
So I'm a little higher on Minnesota. I'm taking the Gophers for 8. But I'm going to bet Illinois at 6.5 here, plus 6.5 here. I think that this is going to be a close football game, and I'm going to bet on this Illinois defense. I said on the recap this week, I think they're legit. Now, have they played any elite offenses? No. But they've pretty much dominated every game with, I guess you can count the exception of Indiana. Minnesota been dominant on the ground through 4 weeks, but they played a pretty good run defense, pretty decent defense. And Purdue a few weeks back only got 47 on the ground. Tanner Morgan also 3 interceptions. I don't think Minnesota is going to repeat that poor of an offensive opponent, regardless of how good I think this Illinois defense is. Mo Ibrahim's coming back. I think that's going to get a boost to the offense as well. So I like this to be close, but again, I think Minnesota's the better team here. I think they kind of end this Illinois hype train this week, so give me the Gophers with 8.
Tom, you joining us on Minnesota, or you taking Illinois?
I'm joining you guys once again. I did make a bet on Illinois plus 7 minus $1.20. I think it's going to be about a field goal game where it opened at 3.5. It steamed up to 6.5, and I was able to find a rogue 7 with a little extra juice. But yeah, I agree with everything Kinger said. The defense is great. They had a gritty win last week against Iowa. It wasn't pretty, but you know, good teams find the way to win ugly. And I like them in the spot here. It's not technically a look ahead spot, but the Gophers have Penn State next week. They go to Penn State, so I don't know. You have to wonder maybe if their heads will be 100% in this game.
How many confidence points you on there, Tom?
I'm going with 3 confidence points on the Gophers.
All right. Well, you love this. So Tom and King are both on the same side there. And Tom says he expects the game to be much closer to my line than the Vegas line. So that's some good agreement all the way around. To recap, we are all on Minnesota. Kinger taking the Golden Gophers for 8. Tom and I both taking Minnesota for 3. This next game, guys, is the game I am most excited about this week. It's got a game score of 97, projecting as the best game of the week. It is the third Saturday in October. Of course, I am talking about Alabama at Tennessee. Tom, let's get your thoughts first. Kinger, what's Vegas think?
Alabama's minus 7-point favorite on the road, over under 65.5.
So this was the first bet I made this week. Alabama minus 7 for 2 units. I expect to get Bryce Young back this week. I have them 9 confidence points here. Tennessee looked solid against LSU last week, but you know that game was sort of over before it really even started. And I think we're getting a lot of value on a dangerous Alabama team.
Kinger, what do you think?
You said this is your favorite matchup of the week, Kelly. I'm with you, with the exception of primetime BTN Nebraska-Purdue Saturday night at 6:30. That's definitely up there for me, number one. But, man, I'd love for nothing more than to see Bama go into Knoxville and lose this week. And I think this is the first time in I can't even remember how many years that Tennessee actually probably feels like they have a legit shot at Bama this weekend. But at the end of the day, Bryce Young coming back, I think this team is just going to be too much. I think this Bama defense is too good. They've had some holes in the secondary, but this is far and away the best defense that Hendon Hooker's playing. He's had some unreal numbers this year thus far. I think he's going to come a little bit back down to earth this week. Bama always has seemed to get hype for this game. Going on the road again, this is going to be an environment that they haven't experienced this year, but they've been battle-tested thus far. Texas already a close one at home with Texas A&M. I think this is all just building, callousing up Bama to make this run. It's a very dangerous team, like Tom said. So give me the Crimson Tide and give me them for 7 confidence points.
If you listen to the show, you know how I feel about Tennessee. This is a phenomenal football team. The offense is incredible. I've had them power rated in the top 7 since going into week 2. They are still there. I have them power rated number 6. I have Alabama power rated number 2. Ohio State passed them this week just barely, but Ohio State now my number 1 team in the power ratings. I'm taking Alabama in this game, and I like the Crimson Tide by 8 because of how tight these other games are. That's 9 confidence points on the Crimson Tide. I'm couching that in nervous about the quarterback position, nervous about the home field advantage that Tennessee is going to have. I think it's important that Alabama not let Tennessee jump out to like a 14 or 17 point first quarter, because if they do, Tennessee will win this game, and they might win it running away too. So I think Alabama's defense needs to travel. I think they will, but this reminds me of when I was very, very young, the good Tennessee teams. King, you talked about it's been a long time. Like, I barely remember at the very beginning of my my memorable memory. I don't know how to say that. I guess from one of the first games I can remember, Tennessee-Alabama back in like 98 or 99. For some reason, I have a very brief memory of that game. Like, this game means a ton to college football. If you are a historical fan of this game, it has not meant nearly as much in the last 10, 15, maybe even 20 years. I am so excited for this game to have national relevance once again this weekend. But give me Alabama. It's a 72% win probability, so I'm taking the Crimson Tide for 9. So to recap, we are all on Alabama. Tom and I for 9. Kinger taking the Crimson Tide for 7. King, we'll start with you first on this game. We're moving to the Big 12, probably my favorite conference in college football this year, just because anything can happen on any weekend. We've got great storylines everywhere. We've got Oklahoma State going on the road to TCU. These two teams still undefeated. One of them has to go down. King, what's Vegas think? And then what do you think about Oklahoma State at TCU?
Vegas is TCU 3.5-point favorite at home, over under 68. I'm assuming they've really got to probably be incorporating the home field advantage here for TCU, because I'm a little shocked again that line's all the way up at 3.5. I mean, but this should be a pretty high-scoring team. This is two of the top 5 scoring offenses in the country. Spencer Sanders said repeatedly my feelings on this show about how I feel about him, but he's made me eat my words this year. He has been pretty damn good, leading the Big 12 in passing yards. Still only a couple interceptions on the year, which was kind of his Achilles heel last year, was turning the ball over. TCU defense, they're good, but they're not top 25 good. I don't think this offense has obviously carried them, and I think they've done a pretty good job of limiting big plays, but Oklahoma State's going to score this weekend. There's no doubt about it. And again, I think the same thing on the other side. Max Duggan playing great. We have an OK State defense that's ranked 105 in the country. Potential for Quentin Johnson and Duggan, again, to have a pretty big day. TCU's top 25 in just about every single major offensive category. They're going to score some points this week, but I think Oklahoma State is just a slightly better team. I think the defense is still a little bit better than TCU's. I think that front 7 makes enough plays. The secondary is going to need to step up this week. I'm actually trusting Spencer Sanders this week. We'll see how I feel next week after this game comes to conclusion, but I'm taking Spencer Sanders. I'm taking the Cowboys for 2 confidence points this week.
All right, we're going to have our first disagreement here, Kinger. I'm going TCU. I'm going to take it for 2 confidence points as well. I do think Oklahoma State is the better football team. I have Oklahoma State power rated number 14, TCU number 17. However, with the game being at TCU, I like the Horned Frogs in this game by about 1.5 points. So a little bit less than Vegas, 54% win probability for TCU. This game's got a game score of 94, guys. Fourth best on the slate this weekend. Really, really good game. I'm excited for this one. It's a shame it's at the same time as Alabama-Tennessee. Otherwise, this definitely would have been the center game or center TV game for me. It'll have to take a side seat, though, to Alabama-Tennessee, at least to start through the first half. Something worth noting here, Oklahoma State, TCU coming off a very emotional win at Kansas, right? That Lawrence was charged. Everyone was jacked up. It was a really great game. Jane Daniels gets hurt, changes maybe the outcome. Kinger, as you talked about, still had good play from the quarterback position from Kansas the remainder of that game, but probably changed the dynamic a little bit. Oklahoma State, meanwhile, played Texas Tech last week in what was a shootout game. They were on the field, their defense, for more than 100 plays. Now they have to travel to Fort Worth. Something to keep an eye on. That defense could be tired. They could get worn down because, you know, King, as you talked about, Max Duggan and that offense are good at slinging that ball around the field. Just keep an eye on that Oklahoma State defense and how much energy they have come the fourth quarter in this game. Tom, we need you to break the tie. Who you take at Oklahoma State TCU?
This was a tough one for me. You know, I like you said, this is a great game, and had it not been for, you know, this week filled with great games, this might be, you know, the main course. But I'm going with TCU here. I like what you said about the defense. You know, it's a big ask after that game to go on the road. And I'm not the biggest Max Duggan guy, but sort of like Kinger with Sanders, he's made me eat my words a little bit this season, even though he didn't come out of the gate as the starter. I just think, you know, the total's high for a reason. The front seven for Oklahoma State is pretty good. I think they'll have some success slowing down the run game. But with the way Duggan's looked and how gassed this defense could be, I like TCU in a close one here.
How many confidence points did you have?
With five confidence points.
Got it. All right. So to recap, we have our first disagreement. Tom and I both on TCU. Tom for 5. I'm on the Horned Frogs for 2. Kinger taking Oklahoma State for 2. I'll take this next game first, guys. It's in the ACC. We got NC State going on the road to Syracuse. Kinger, what does Vegas think about this game?
Syracuse is a 3.5-point favorite at home, over under 44.
I really don't know what to make of this game, guys, if we're being honest. My numbers like NC State by a singular point. Syracuse coming off a bye. I think that's noteworthy now playing at home. It's a 53% win probability for NC State, who I have as the number 21 power-rated team in the country. Syracuse, number 33. Syracuse has been a team, I mean, they're up there in the top 5, top 10 of most wins over expected relative to preseason expectations for me through this point of the season. Really good season for Syracuse so far. Sitting there undefeated, having a chance to keep pace with Clemson in the Atlantic. NC State needs this game, though, guys. If they lose this one, they have absolutely no shot of going to the ACC championship game, as they would be 2 games behind Clemson and have lost the tiebreaker. So I'm taking NC State in this game. I think they're going to be desperate. I think they're going to do enough, but I'm taking them for 1 confidence point. Tom, what about you?
You know, if NC State had a healthy Devin Leary, I'd probably be making my biggest bet of the year on NC State. However, I think he has no shot to play this week, and the drop-off from him to the backup, as we saw last week, it's a completely different offense. I believe he attempted 1 pass. It went incomplete. I mean, credit to him. He stepped in. He led a couple of touchdown drives. You know, he did what he had to do, and they got out of there. But Cuse has a great fan base. They always have. Good or bad, they show up, and especially when they're good. I know the place is going to be rocking. It should be a pretty good game. But I think Cuse gets out of there with a win and keeps their season going. I have Cuse with 6 confidence points.
I'm with Tom here, and this smells trouble for a backup quarterback. I'm with him. Leary, this is a completely different conversation. I'm leaning Wolfpack, but without Devin Leary versus this top 10 total Syracuse defense, top 20 against the run, 16th against the pass, been a very pleasant surprise. He said the dome's going to be rocking. Syracuse has a lot of momentum right now. That offense has been pretty good. I mean, NC State, they're top 20 unit. Syracuse offense, they're going to try and run the ball. I expect some explosive plays out of them. I'm definitely leaning the orange at home, so give me the orange with 5 confidence points.
I went first on that game for a reason. I was going to let you guys talk about Leary there. I'm a big proponent. You guys have heard this before if you listen to the show. Backup quarterbacks in their first game as the starter, more times than not, in my experience, they rise to the occasion. I think we can see that here. I'm not super confident, right? That's why I took them for one. But I think we're going to be just fine at quarterback for NC State in this game. We'll see how it pays off. To recap this one, we have a disagreement. Again, we've got Kinger and Tom both on Syracuse. Tom for 6, Kinger for 5. I am taking the Wolfpack for a single point. We're going to keep it in the ACC. King, let's go to you here. This is the ACC game of the week, in my opinion. Curious what yours is. We've got Clemson going on the road to Florida State. Geez, 8-9 years ago, guys, this would have been a top 5 matchup guaranteed, primetime TV. Things have changed a little bit, but I still think this is going to be a great game. King, what's Vegas think, and what do you think about Clemson at Florida State?
I'm with you, Kelly. This is my ACC game of the week. Clemson's a 3.5-point favorite on the road, over under 51. And this just screams Mike Norvell bounce back week. Florida State stumbling 2 weeks in a row. This would just feel on par for Florida State to come out, really compete here, potentially win the game, and just kind of suck everybody right back in. This Clemson secondary, they've been very vulnerable this year against the pass. A lot of explosive plays, but this front seven is their strength. And Florida State, very good at running the ball, leading the SEC with 5.8 yards per carry. Clemson is the best in the conference against the run. I like Clemson to neutralize the run, and I think they have an opportunity to get to Jordan Travis this week. Florida State O-line, been very susceptible in pass protection, most sacks allowed in the ACC. If he gets time, Clemson could potentially let up some plays. Like I said, that's how they win this game, is by winning in the trenches. But on the other side, DJ continues to play pretty good football here. Dominated Boston College. I think you can tell that Clemson and Dabo, I think they're starting to get more comfortable with him. I think they're starting to believe in him a little bit more. Accuracy is still not his strength, but he takes care of the football. I think Clemson offense is finding a bit of a groove, and I think they find a way to get it done this week. So give me Clemson with 6 confidence points.
I'll take this one next. King, you touched on a lot of the salient points here. I really like Clemson still. I've been higher, or just as high, if not higher, on them than many of the other power ratings. I still have them power rated number 7. I've got Florida State number 27. I think this is going to be Clemson's game to win. DJU playing much better this year than last. This has got a game score of 89. It's 5th best on the slate this entire weekend. I like Clemson by about 8. It's a 71% win probability. So I'm taking the Tigers. I'm taking them for 8 confidence points. And guys, it's worth noting, we talk a lot about the SEC West, the Big Ten East, and how those are just so much better overall quality divisions within their respective conferences than the other side. I feel like we don't talk enough about the ACC Atlantic versus the Coastal. I mean, all the best teams in the ACC, and I feel like it's not new either, but this year it seems even deeper in the Atlantic. Like, there's more good teams. It's not just Clemson. It's not just Florida State in their heyday. NC State's been good recently, Wake, but now you got Syracuse in the mix there too. While the Coastal just continues to be musical chairs, who's going to step up? We still don't know. I think it might be about time to start mentioning, not on the same level of quality as the SEC West and the Big Ten East, but in terms of the gap between that division and the other one within their conference, and we know moving forward, division's likely going to be scrapped across the board, but while we still have them, the ACC Atlantic certainly superior to the Coastal. So, Tom, to you for this one, we got Clemson and Florida State.
Yeah, Clemson, you know, they haven't been winning with style points, you know, the flashy way, you know, that we might be used to seeing in years past. They're just 3-3 against the spread. But, you know, they're doing all the things that it takes to win games. You know, they're winning ugly. They survived against Wake Forest in overtime. You know, and they're so dangerous up front. They're going to have a, you know, success stopping Florida State, who's been a little bit up and down and undisciplined at times, a little sloppy. And that stuff will really hurt you against a team like Clemson. They just they won't give you many second chances. So I like Clemson to get out of here with a win. I have them at 4 confidence points.
All right, so to recap this one, we are all taking the Tigers. I'm on them for 8, Kinger for 6, and Tom likes Clemson for 4. Tom, we'll start with you on this one. We're going back to the SEC. We got an interdivisional game here. We've got Mississippi State going on the road to Lexington to take on the Kentucky Wildcats. Kinger, what's Vegas think? And then let's get our Vegas expert Tom in on this one first.
The Bulldogs are a 7-point favorite on the road, over under 46.
I'm looking forward to this one as well. I'm a big Mike Leach fan. I think anyone in college football fans are Mike Leach fans. I took the Cats here, plus 6. It's ticked up a little bit to 7. I just see this being a close game. Whenever Mike Leach goes on the road as a, you know, as a touchdown favorite, I always kind of hold my breath. But I think Kentucky will be able to make enough plays to hang in this one and actually win a close one. I have them winning outright with 2 confidence points.
All right. Kinger, to you. And Will Levis played in this game? Do we know?
I returned to practice on Monday. I expect him to play in this one.
Kinger, what do you think?
Yeah, so my pick is Mississippi State for 9, and that's under the assumption right now that Will Levis isn't going to play. Because I think without Levis, I think Kentucky is absolutely no shot this week. And I'm with Tom. I'm a huge Mike Leach guy. But there is just kind of this momentum building or this feeling building, and I've been saying it for a few weeks, that there is going to be a letdown game from this Mike Leach team, from these Mississippi State Bulldogs. Now, Will Rogers, he's the perfect QB for this system. I don't know if you guys saw this week, which is kind of crazy. He just broke the record for SEC. He's the all-time completions leader in SEC. This dude's accurate. They have weapons across the board. And their defense, although not quite as good maybe as in years past, they've done enough to get the job done for them. And Kentucky, they have their struggles, but this defense is pretty good. It's top 20 nationally. They don't give up big plays. I think if Will Levis plays, this is a game that Kentucky can win. Without it, I just think ultimately Mississippi State's going to be able to do enough on the offensive side of the ball. They're going to limit what Kentucky can do. They're going to load that box, try and keep everything in front of them. So I'm under the assumption that Levis is not playing right now, so I've got Mississippi State for 9. We'll see if that changes as the week goes on.
I talked earlier about backup quarterbacks, how I liked them in their first start, coming unexpected for them to come in and lead the team. We saw backup quarterback Kentucky last week and what South Carolina was able to do against this team. This would not be a spot that I would endorse a backup quarterback position if it's needed here. I like Mississippi State in this game as well, regardless of who the quarterback is for Kentucky. I'm taking Mississippi State for 6 confidence points. This is a Mississippi State team, guys, that is really, really good, and I would say underrated. I'm not sure they're underranked, but underrated. I have them number 11 in my power ratings. I don't think many people out there think of Mississippi State as a top 10, top 11 team. My numbers do. Kentucky's number 36 in my power ratings, so they're going on the road. You have to account for that home field advantage, but I like Mississippi State by about 5 in this game. It's a 64% win probability. This is a game that Mississippi State absolutely has to have if they have any hope of staying in the SEC West race. I think Kentucky's already out of the East race. They have 2 losses. I don't see them getting to Atlanta. But if Mississippi State wants that dream to continue, they absolutely have to have this game. I think they're going to get it done. So to recap, Kinger and I both on Mississippi State. King for 9, me for 6, and Tom taking Kentucky for 2. That means to this point, we are now all alone on 1 game each. So we've had 3 disagreements. We've all been the single person on 1 of those each. We've got 2 games left to pick, and they are both out in the Pac-12. I will take this one first, King. I am super, super excited about this game. I have been really since about week 2 when my numbers realized I might have been a little bit too low on USC this summer. USC's looked great. They're going on the road to Utah, a team coming off a loss to UCLA last week. King, what's Vegas think about this one? Because then I have some thoughts.
Utah's a 3.5-point favorite at home, over under 65.
So Vegas thinks Utah is a 3.5-point favorite at home against an undefeated USC team. Utah having 2 losses now, 1 of them in conference, 1 in week 1, of course, at Florida. I am with Vegas. I actually didn't know, King, what the Vegas line was going to be. I thought bettors might, and Tom, I want to get your take on this too as a Las Vegas resident. I think bettors are going crazy on USC. I think they have since Lincoln Riley was hired. I called them foolish at the time. I am starting to look like the foolish one at this point of the season. I still do not think they are going to make the Pac-12 championship or win the Pac-12. However, I think their chances of doing so are much better now than the summer. I have Utah power rated number 8, guys, in the country, even with those 2 losses. USC power rated number 9. So like I said, I am much higher now on USC than I was in the summer. But USC having to go on the road against a Utah team that is going to be desperate. I've used that term a couple times tonight. We are at that point of the season where if teams want to achieve their goals that they set out to achieve at the beginning of the year, desperation mode is in full effect for many of those teams. Utah is in that spot now. I like the crowd to get them through this game. It's a 61% win probability. It's got a game score of 94, guys. It's second best in the entire slate. I am so pumped for this game. Give me Utah and give them to me for 4 confidence points. Tom, what do you think? And what do all those Vegas bettors think about USC?
Well, I'm right there with you on maybe being a bit too low on USC this summer because I jumped all over the season win total under 9.5 at plus 105. I thought I was getting a great deal, and now I feel not so smart. So I'm still still high on Utah. I think what we saw last week was a bit of a shock, giving up 42 points. I have their defense much better than that. Like you said, backs against the wall. I really like Kyle Whittingham. I think he's going to have his guys up for this one. And I think they make enough plays to get this done. And I have them winning here by about a touchdown. So I have them winning straight up with 8 confidence points.
I'm joining you guys here. Night game, Salt Lake City, desperate Utah team. And I mean, outside of Oregon State game, USC has been very solid. But this is going to be their toughest challenge this week, right? And this USC defense, let's just be honest here, it's still not great. They're good at creating takeaways. They've been solid in the secondary, but they let up some yards. And I mean, this Utah team, they're going to try and run the ball. They ran it well against UCLA last week, who's top 2 or top 3 in the Pac-12 against the run. USC definitely not as strong there. I like the Utes to control this line of scrimmage. I think this game is ultimately going to come down to Caleb Williams and that offense. Are they going to be able to score on Utah's defense, which has had holes, but I'm with Tom. I think they're a little bit better than what they've shown thus far, regardless of the talent that they're replacing from last year. They're going to need to get the run game going, but ultimately, I think Utah is too much this week, so give me the Utes to break the losing streak. I have them with 4 confidence points.
All right, so to recap this one, we are all on Utah. Tom taking them for 8 confidence points. Kinger and I taking the Utes for 4. We've got our final game, guys. We're going to keep it in the Pac-12. Tom, let's start with you. King, what does Vegas think of Washington State going on the road to Oregon State?
Oregon State's a 3-point favorite at home, over under 53.
I like Oregon State here. I make them power rated about by a touchdown. I didn't realize it already ticked down to 3. So at 3, I'm starting to look to make a bet on them. Washington State will be on the second leg of a back-to-back for the first time this year on the road. Corvallis, a tough place to play, especially at night. Oregon State, they haven't had the best pass rush this year, but Washington State has been suspect up front all year. I think Oregon State's strong in the secondary, and this could be a good matchup for them defensively. So I got the Beavers here winning outright, and I have it for 7 confidence points.
I don't have a lot to add here. I'm taking the home team here. I feel a little questionable doing this, to be honest, because I really haven't loved what I've seen from Oregon State these last few weeks. Offensive production's been there. They put up some yards, but they really haven't been able to generate that points. I believe they're still working with a backup quarterback as well. Chance Nolan was out last week. But he said Washington State on the second leg of a back-to-back. Oregon State's been very good at home over these last few years, specifically against the spread. I'm going to take against what my brain has seen these last 2 weeks, and I'm going to hop back on Oregon State. So give me the Beavers with 3 confidence points.
Yeah, guys, I'll be honest with you. I'm not sure why this game is in the pick 'em. I really don't. These are two teams that already have 2 conference losses each. The Pac-12 has done away with their divisions in terms of the standings. They're still playing, because the schedule was made, they're still playing a divisional schedule. But in terms of the standings, they're taking just the top 2 teams with regard to conference record for the championship game. So I really don't know why this game's in the pick 'em. You can bet I'll be watching, though. For those of us who stayed up for the end of Oregon State Stanford last week, you saw a great ending, a surprise ending. Definitely made being up at 2:30 Eastern worth it. I'm over here working on updating the ratings anyway. Got the game on, and it was a good ending. So I will be watching. This is not one of the games I'm most excited about, though. I've got Oregon State number 48, Washington State number 53. Again, don't know why we're doing it. I like Oregon State in this game by 4.5, 62% win probability. Give me Oregon State, and give them to me for 5 confidence points. So to recap, we are all on the Beavers. Tom for 7. I'm on them for 5. Kinger on Oregon State for 3. All right, guys, that wraps up the pick'em portion of the segment. King, I know it's time to do some best bets from you, and I know Tom's got a couple for us as well. So King, we'll start with you as we always do. Hit us with some of your best bets again as of recording here on Tuesday night.
All right, I'm really vibing the board this week, to be honest. The 3 plays we talked about: KU plus 7.5, Illinois plus 6.5. I'm also going to add the Cowboys plus 3.5. I'm going to take them outright to win in the pick 'em. I think it makes sense for me, especially with that hook at 3.5. Give me Oklahoma State. 2 other games. I'm going to bet the Thursday night game this week: Baylor minus 3.5 at West Virginia. I think this is a bounce back game for Baylor. They've struggled a little bit these last few weeks. I'm not in love at all with West Virginia, specifically on the offensive side of the ball. I think Baylor has the potential to really lock them down this week and have kind of a dominating performance on that side of the ball. Kelly, I don't know if you want to share what your numbers are there for that one.
Numbers like Baylor by 4.5, so I'm with you there. That's 4 for 4.
Okay, and then the last one. I'm loading up on this one late night. Washington minus 14.5 at home versus Arizona. Washington, after starting off 4-0, back-to-back losses at USCLA, at Arizona State. I know that that loss last week at Arizona State definitely sting in that Husky program. They want to show that they're still competitive in the Pac-12. Arizona, not a very good football team, only 2 touchdowns. I think that defense is going to really shut down Arizona at home this week. I think that offense is going to find some success versus a pretty porous Arizona defense. I like them big, only 2 touchdowns. I mean, it got the half hook there, 14.5, but I am on the Huskies this week as well. That's my 5-play card to start. Again, we'll see how we add to it going into the weekend.
I like Washington by 16.5, Kinger. So again, it's a close one, but I do lean your way. So I'm leaning your way on all those bets. So take that for what it is, and we'll see how it goes. Tom, what do you have to add in terms of your best bets as you're looking at the college football slate this week? And also, Tom, please tell the folks about your premium service that you have as well. You have a free Twitter where you post some stuff, but you also have a premium service too. So as you're laying out these picks, also please share where can folks find you on Twitter first, and where can they find you your premium stuff if that's what they want to do as well.
That's right. So I try and do both. I try and give some free plays out as well as access to everything I bet as soon as I bet it on a more private side. Free play for this week, a game we didn't talk about, is UCF minus 23 on Thursday. They're facing a bad Temple team against a true freshman. UCF, you know, they haven't looked quite as good maybe as we thought they might early in the year. This is a great spot to take out a little frustration. They played midweek last week, so, and I'm not worried about any short rest or anything like that, and I think they could put up a pretty big number on Temple here at home.
Tom, I'm with you there. I just plugged it into my model. UCF favored by 29.5 by my numbers at home against Temple. Yeah, that's nearly a touchdown of cushion there. So yeah, I definitely like that value with UCF for sure as your free play of the week. And Tom, tell everybody if they want to subscribe to your premium, how does that work? How do they do that? How do they find you? What goes into that?
So the best way is just reach out to me on my Twitter at Tom Judge Sports, and then you know, we can talk it out, and I'll help you get on board. I try and keep it very reasonable price wise, and you know, always willing to work with people, special circumstances, stuff like that. It just gives me the extra oomph to get up and do the numbers weekly and you know, get out that good information.
I love it, Tom. Kate, what do you think about me starting a premium service for my numbers, huh? Make people pay a little bit to get access to K4 ratings? What do you think about that, Kate?
I think that'd be a great way to fire up the Twitter fan base, Kelly. That's what I think out of that. But and just want to circle back on Tom's pick. You said UCF, you're in agreement to that. Do you guys see the jerseys they're debuting this week? Space U?
Yeah, King, what's up with that? Hold on now. As a Purdue guy, you got to get your thoughts here.
I mean, I think it's pretty much Purdue and UCF are the space schools, right? But I think it's a little corny here, UCF going with the Space U. I think they're taking it a little bit too far. I think they take that very personally. If you say that UCF, I guess, isn't the original, I don't know, NASA space school or whatever you want to call it there, they get fired up about that. But those jerseys, I think those are definitely worth a couple extra points. So I'll join you guys. I'll join Tom in taking that Thursday night as well.
Here's what I'll say about that, King. I think UCS, they have proven they already are. I think they're just cementing their position as the kings of made-up titles. First, they're national champions in 2017. Now they're Space U. Like, hey, UCF, you got the bounce house. You're going to the Big 12. Be happy with it, all right? Just stop trying to get on everyone else's stuff. Like, you weren't champs. You're not Space U. I don't know, man. This is We Hate Your Team. UCF, I'm hating you right now because you guys are way off base on all these things. Just enjoy your bounce house. Enjoy the Big 12, and everything will be all good. But, Tom, thank you so much for joining us. We really appreciate it. As he said, you can find him at Tom Judge Sports on Twitter. He's a great follow. I've been following him since nearly the time I joined Twitter. Absolutely love it. We've chopped it up in the DMs talking college football and handicapping, and we will continue to do so. So, Tom, thank you so much for joining us. We really appreciate it. You've been fantastic.
Absolutely. It was a blast, guys. I hope we can do this again sometime. And best of luck to everyone with their bets this week. And let's get some winners.
Let's get some winners. You said it best. Thanks for coming on, Tom. Great having you.
Awesome. Well, this has been the We Hit Your Team podcast. Thank you all for listening. We really appreciate it. Until next time, enjoy week 7 of the 2022 college football season.